got a new battery in there, so we can preach for 2 hours.
Well, I'll try not to do that. It's an honor to be here. Thank y'all for having me. And I do continue to covet your prayers. I never was much on making a lot of fancy speeches because I never did know how to do that. So if you have your Bible, turn to the book of James. The book of James. And unless the Lord directs my attention otherwise, I'll be speaking from this passage any time that I'm here and speak. I'm really thrilled that the other ministers have come, and just a great blessing to me to be able to worship with the saints. As most of you know, I'm kind of stuck off in a remote area, and about all the preaching I get to hear, except what I listen throughout the day. I usually listen to 4, 5, 6 sermons a week because I'm by myself, and so I listen to a lot of sermons off of sermon audio. But it's not like worshiping in the house of the Lord. And so I look forward to hearing these other men speak as well. Let's begin reading at verse 5, and we'll read down through verse 11. And the subject matter that I will be attempting to speak upon is near to God. I know that I've got a good subject. I know that I've got a good subject. And unless the Lord applies it to your heart, it won't do you any good. I'm quite certain of that. But anyway, James 4:5. Do you think the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. I believe at least the immediate context of all of these verses are very, very important with reference to being nigh or near to God. How many of you really desire to be close to God? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I will ask you to speak to yourself. Do you really want to be close to God? Have you ever prayed for God to bless you to be near to Him? Now think about that. Have you ever prayed? You know, sometimes say, yeah, I'd like to be close to God. But have you ever prayed to God to be close to Him? I can't answer that. Only you can answer that honestly between yourself and God. Have you ever prayed for God to draw you near to Him? What have you done to be close to God? Have you done anything intentionally, on purpose, with a direct desire to be close to God. You know, if I was going to plant a garden, I'd have to do some things, wouldn't I? I'd have to break up the ground. I'd have to get seed. I'd have to sow the seed. I'd have to cultivate it. I'd have to harvest it. If you're going to accomplish anything, you must make preparations for it. So have you ever done anything on purpose with the intention of being close to God? Before I ask any more questions, I haven't graduated on this subject myself either. I don't want you to think that. I need this as much as you do. I know I need it. I assume you do too. Have you done anything specifically with the intention of being close to God or to try to get closer to God? Or have you just simply prayed for God to bless you to be close to Him and then you just wait for Him to do something? You know, I'm fearful that many times we ask God to do for us things that we don't intentionally work toward accomplishing those things. For example, if I want a good garden, I can't sit on my front porch and pray for God to give me a good garden, can I? And you can't pray to be close to God or to make any growth spiritually unless you intentionally work toward that. God's sovereignty and man's responsibility works together in this as well as many other things. So my purpose is not to condemn you this weekend. My purpose is to try to be specific in helping you to get close to God on purpose. To get close to God on purpose. On purpose. I believe that every Christian really desires to be close to God. I really believe that. I believe every Christian really desires to be close to God. It's one thing to go to church on a regular basis, go through life humdrum, and never have any idea or thought about being close to God or not. Many people can do that. But I'm talking about with a great intense desire. There's a burning desire within their heart to be close to God. I believe every Christian desires that. Likely, also, there is a difference of opinion and ideas as to what it is to be close to God. Very likely, I could ask each one of these preachers, and I throw in my 2 cents worth too, what is a good definition of being close to God? What does it mean to be close to God? Well, we could have many different ideas and many different opinions about that. But one thing about it, whatever being close to God is, it must be in accordance with the Word of God. It must be in accordance with God's Word. Sometimes people will set a plan in order to try to be close to God, and they might do some of the following steps. Read a certain amount of Bible every day. You can read your Bible every day and still not get any closer to God. And if you think that reading your Bible every day is going to cause you to have some burst of energy flowing through your mind and in your soul, and that's being close to God, I think that you may be somewhat fooled. We're not talking about physical emotions. We're not talking about a burst of energy. We're not talking about having a good meeting and having a good sermon, and everybody talking about what a good sermon it was, and going home and Monday morning not being any different. We're not talking about that. We're talking about consciously knowing that you are close to God. I believe according to the Scriptures, we can definitively know without being hypocritical whether we are somewhat in the vicinity of being close to God. And we may get out of bed and stump our toe before we get to the bathroom. And we might even have the belly ache and throw up. And we might feel bad all week long, but we can still consciously know scripturally whether we're close to God or not. I believe that's possible. And I hope maybe that I can convince you of that. We could set a certain amount of time to read the Bible. We could try to pray a certain amount of time. I remember early in my ministry, I was all excited one time and I was going to spend all night in prayer. Well, that didn't last long. You could establish a program of fasting, maybe one day a week, maybe a longer time, maybe a shorter time. You could strive to stop participating in a particular sin or sins. Maybe reading so many books, doing some Bible study. And all of these things are good. All of these things are good, and I believe we ought to be doing all of these things as Christians. I believe a Christian would strive to do that. Each day, spend some time. I believe the Christian desires to spend quality time with God each day. It's one thing for me to say, boy, I'd like to spend time with God. It's another thing for me to spend time with God. I believe we all every Christian wants to spend time with God, but he may not do it. And you cannot expect to be any closer to God if you're not going to spend time with him. You men who have wives, you enjoy spending time with them, don't you not? Do you not? And you can be in the same room with them, never saying a word to them, and enjoy their company. You know, you don't always have to be talking to somebody to enjoy their company. I spent some time with my brother the past couple of days, and sometime we're just sitting there in the room, neither one of us saying anything, but we just were soaking up each other's company. You can do that with God, beloved. And you know that God is there. In other words, you need to realize, have a conscious awareness that God is with you daily. As you go about your daily work, as you go about your activities that you're doing, whether it's the housewife or working and where you can, if you're running heavy machinery, you have to keep your mind on that. But you need to consciously aware that you're in the presence of God. God is there. God is here. Do you believe that it is possible to not only get close to God, but to live daily near God? Do you believe that's possible? Answer that in your soul. Do you believe that it's possible to get close to God and to live daily near God? I believe that's possible. I don't always do it, but I believe that's possible. And I'm striving more and more to do it, though I don't always do it. And when I don't do it, it's not God's fault. It's my fault. It's never God's fault. It's my fault if I'm not close to God or living consciously close in awareness of Him. Now here's my overall outline, whether I get to all of it or not. I'm going to give you all of the points that I have. I usually outline more than I get to anyway. The first thing that you need to consciously be aware of, we're all sinners. We're all sinners. That's in the text. God, secondly, God increasingly gives grace. God gives grace. God gives you grace every day. You may not know it, but he we'll say more about that, Lord willing. Third, we are to submit to God's commandments. Are you living in submission to the commandments of God? We are to resist the devil. Thomas Brooks, Puritan many years ago, wrote from Paul's passage in Corinthians that we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. Are you ignorant of Satan's devices? Do you know what Satan can do to you to draw you away from being close to God? Not only are we to resist the devil, we're to, notice what it said, draw nigh to God. Now notice, God didn't say we ought to draw nigh to God. A lot of times when we preach that, that's the way we preach it. We ought to do this, we ought to do that, but the commandment is draw nigh to God. Not that you ought to, draw nigh to God. And there's things that you specifically are to do to draw nigh to God. We are to cleanse our hands and purify our hearts. You cannot spend hours and hours and hours on the internet and in the entertainment industry and be close to God. You can't do that. I know you can't do that. We are to humble ourselves. And then eighthly, we are to guard our speech. We are to guard our lifestyle. Consciously guard how we live. Consciously. First of all, first point that we're sinners. Notice what verse 5 said. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? You have lust in your heart. I have lust in my heart. And I'm not talking about sexual perversion, though that may be included as well. We all have desires and wants that are not necessarily in line with what God desires and wants for us. Can you not see that in your own life? That there's things that you would like to have that you don't have, that you wish you had, but God hasn't given it to you? It might be a position. It might be having more church members. It might be having less in some cases, but The point that I'm trying to get across is that we're sinners. And James, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he said, do you think the Scripture says in vain? Do you think God has said something in vain? And what is it that the Scripture has said? What is it that God has said? Notice what it said. The spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy. Think about what you think about as you go about each day. I'll be a little personal here. I live by myself, and it's easy for me to feel sorry for myself. It's easy for me to want to be in a different situation than what I'm in. But the point is, God would have me to draw near to Him in the situation that I am in. If I were to get a different situation, if I cannot be content in the Lord in the state in which I am, I won't be content in any other state. You think having more money? You think having a better job? You think being retired? Whatever, you think that's going to make you closer to God? No. If you're not close to God where you are now, any change in the situation won't make it any different. We're sinners. Paul said, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Paul said, "When I would do good, evil is present with me." I can try to pray. And as I'm trying to pray, I can think of a million things I ought to be doing. Well, I need to be doing this. I need to be doing that. I need to get up and do this or something else. The hardest thing for me to do is to spend quality time with the Lord in prayer. And yet at the same time, I pray to God all day long. Little small ejaculatory prayers I'm constantly sending up to God all day long. But I'm a sinner. You're a sinner. We believe in total depravity. But we need to realize that we have a battleground. Not only the world, not only the devil, but my greatest battleground is myself. And your greatest battleground is yourself. You're a sinner. There is no direct verse in the Bible that says exactly what verse 5 says, but there are many verses that could be supplied to prove the point that we're sinners. Let's just look in Romans chapter 3 briefly. Romans chapter 3. You Bible readers know where I'm going. I've changed a lot of the way that I preach over the years. I kind of slow down, give you opportunity to turn to it so you can look at it and read it yourself. Because it's God's Word that's going to give you what you need, not my words. It's God's Word. If he has to apply it. Romans chapter 3. Let's begin at verse 9. "What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and that all the world may become guilty before God. In ourselves, not in the judicial righteousness of Christ, but in ourselves dwells no good thing. In ourselves dwell no good thing. Well, I'm pretty good. You may be pretty, but you're not good. You're a sinner. You are a sinner. And you have an enemy that lives in you that desires to keep you from God. The devil is there. The world is there. We're not denying that. I can resist the devil, but I've got to be able to know what is and what is not of the devil in order to resist it. But I'm wanting to focus on the battleground, mainly with that which is in each one of us. That which is in each one of us. Knowing somewhat of our sinfulness and of God's holiness, then we need to wonder, how can I be close to God? You know, Habakkuk says God is so holy that he cannot stand iniquity within him. And seeing how God is holy as he is, and seeing that I'm as sinful as I am, then we need to really wonder, how is it that I can be close to God? Do you have an answer for that? Have you given any consideration to that? God gives us answers in His Word. And obviously, it's impossible to be close to God unless you're born again. If you're not born again, you cannot be close to God. You cannot be close to God unless you're born again. A dead sinner does not know anything of the things of God. 1 Corinthians 2:14, the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. And unless you're born again, you see, what does that statement imply? That you must know whether you're born again or not. So you can't know if you're close to God if you don't know whether you're born again or not. That's the all-important question for you tonight if you do not know that. I cannot answer that question for you. No other individual can answer that question for you. That's a question that you're going to have to answer for yourself. I can assume that you're born again. You can assume that I'm born again or not. But in order to know whether you're close to God or not, you must first know whether you're born again or not. And notice, I didn't ask if you're a church member. I didn't ask if you've been baptized. I didn't ask if you read the Bible. You know, there are atheists that know the Bible better than a lot of professed Christians. Those are not the questions. The question is, am I born again? You have any doubt about that? Do you have any doubt about that? Be honest with yourself, beloved. If you can't be honest with yourself here tonight, as you lay on your bed before you close your eyes, seek to be honest with yourself and God then. You see, I'm wanting to give you some concrete things that you can put your hands on. Brother Dave, I don't believe, has to wonder whether he loves Sister Mabel or not. I don't think he has to wonder about that. And I believe if I were to ask him and put him to the test long enough, he could give me some concrete things to let me know that he loves her. You see, biblical love is not a feeling first, it's an action first. And he can tell me some things that he has done for Sister Mabel to prove that he loves her. Not a feeling first. See, he can't convey his feelings to me. I can't have the feelings towards Sister Mabel that Brother Dave has. If I did, it'd be sinful. See that? But he can convey concrete things to me to prove that he loves her. And you need to be able to have concrete things in your life that you can convey to others and as well as to yourself that you consciously and concretely know that you love God and that you're born again. Obviously, if you're not close to God, the first thing you need to do is to know that you're born again, and it's not our purpose to discuss about all of that. But if you are born again, if you are born again, there's one thing that I can rest assured scripturally, you love God. You know why? Because God has changed your will. And things that you at one time desired to do, you no longer desire to do those things. However, things that you used to enjoy doing and desired to do, you may still be tempted from time to time to do those things. You see, the man that is, let's say a man's a drunk, and God has changed his heart, and he's not a drunk anymore. But he may be tempted every once in a while to get drunk. He may not get drunk. He avoids that temptation. You see, just because we're born again doesn't remove temptations. It doesn't remove temptations. But there's going to be a whole change in your overall lifestyle. There's going to be a change. There'll be a change if you're born again. And if you love God, you're going to change. Do you enjoy God? Do you enjoy God? I bet Brother Herb enjoys Sister Hatfield. He enjoys her. And he knows he enjoys her. Do you enjoy God? Do you enjoy God? If not, why? Why did you want to have the meeting? To get to see people that you haven't seen in a while? That's good. That's good. I'm not denying that. But it ought to be because, first of all, you enjoy God. And if you enjoy God, you'll enjoy God's Word. You'll enjoy God's people. You'll enjoy God's gospel. You'll enjoy that. You will enjoy that. 1 John, Brother Leroy's preaching through that. I tell you, it's one of the strongest books in the Bible to prove whether you love God or not. And it says, if you don't love your brother who you see, how is it that you can say that you love God whom you have not seen? Well, how do I know if I love my brother? Well, if my brother has need, I'm going to do something about it. If my brother, say, is in need financially, the rest of the church members are going to be digging into their pockets to help him. If I've got a brother that's is battling sin and he needs somebody to come to his aid and to try to encourage him and strengthen him, you're going to be there. You're going to want to be there. You see, these are things that you can know whether you're doing it or not. See, John said not to love in word only, but to love in deed. That's not indeed, that's in one word, deed, another word. You see, the Scriptures gives us concrete things that we can lay hold on mentally, emotionally, psychologically, and sometimes bodily to know whether we are striving to be close to God or not. And if you love God, then you're going to love God's people, and you're going to enjoy being around God's people. You're going to enjoy and want to spend quality time with them. You men who are married, what is it that your wives enjoy more than anything else? Your undivided attention. Your undivided attention. They enjoy that. You know, somebody can, we men can just kind of rub elbows and enjoy each other's company sometimes. Women have to have something more than that. If Mount Zion is going to be strong in love, you're going to enjoy spending quality time with each other and the whole membership. Not just wait till you show up on Sunday to see each other. Call each other throughout the week. Oh, that's the preacher's job. No, that's not the preacher's job. It is his job, but it's everybody else's job too. Quality time. You see, the Lord said, and I've already quoted it, how can you hate your brother and love God? How can you love God whom you have not seen and not love your brother whom you have seen? And if you're going to love them, you're going to be spending quality time with them. I'm afraid our modern fast-paced electronic mass media has robbed us of the preciousness of fellowship. As Brother Ray says, fellows in the same ship. You have to be together, don't you? Can you imagine being in a rowboat with someone pulling one way and another pulling a different way? You have to be rowing in the same direction if you're going to get somewhere. You've got to spend time with each other. Enjoy doing things with them. Now, let me say this. I forgot to look at my watch, but let me say this. There's one thing to have like-mindedness on some things and not be cliquish. Several years ago, I gave this illustration. Brother Greg Peterson and Sister Ruth Yetsko, they enjoy watching baseball games together. And both of them really liked the Chicago Cubs. And so it's nothing wrong for them if they want to get together and watch baseball together. And that's just having things in common. And that's not being a clique. But the congregation as a whole must enjoy spending time with each other. Even all of the members. Not one above the other. Do you enjoy some members more than others? Why? What's the reason for that? Give a concrete reason. So if you love God, you're going to be loving one another. Secondly, if you love God, you're going to love His Word. If you love God, you're going to love His Word. I don't know. Brother Herb, did you and Sister Ruth used to correspond by letter? All right. When you got a letter, Brother Herb, did you throw it aside on the desk or did you read it immediately? You enjoyed those letters, didn't you? See, that's what love does. Do you enjoy God's Word? Now, before you think I'm going in a different direction, I'm not saying, do you sometimes get sleepy reading God's Word? Does your mind sometimes stray in reading God's Word and you have to go back and read the same verse over 15 times? I try to read at least five chapters a day. Sometimes I can read those five chapters in about 15 minutes. Sometimes it takes me 2 hours. Sometimes I fall asleep. Sometimes my mind wanders. So I'm not talking about that. But I love the Word. I love the Word. I enjoy the Word. And being the sinner that I am, I enjoy some passages more than others. And being the sinner that I am, I enjoy reading the Word sometimes more than others. But I know that I love God's Word. I enjoy God's Word. And you know, the thing that really causes me to enjoy God's Word, I don't have enough sense to know what's right and what's wrong, but God does. And when God says, "Thou shalt not covet," I don't have to wonder whether that's right or wrong. You know it. And when you're desiring things that God doesn't desire that you have, then what should you do? God, I'm coveting. Forgive me. And what does the Bible say, Brother Leroy? If we confess our sins, He's faithful. He's faithful. You may not be, but He's faithful. And He doesn't just gloss it over. He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But you don't say, you don't go to God and say, "Lord, if I've coveted, forgive me." You haven't confessed anything. If you say, "If I've coveted," you haven't confessed. When you say, I coveted, then you've confessed. See, it's concrete. It's concrete. You say, well, I don't feel forgiven. Faith is not always a feeling, is it? Faith is just taking God as He said. God said He forgives. And I'm as bad as any of you. I want to feel forgiven. But I don't always feel forgiven. But I believe I'm forgiven by the blood righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And why He should forgive such a sinner as me, I have no earthly idea. But I believe it, beloved. It's all I've got. It's all, and that's all you've got. And that, see, you can put your teeth in that. God said it. And I believe it. See? It's not that it's right because God said it and I believe it. It's right because God said it. See, Paul, when he was on that ship and tossed to and fro, and they'd been fasting for 14 days and all hope was gone, that they were, and it looked like everybody was going to be drowned. But God said, Paul said, no, God had told me that not one is going to die, and I believe God. That's what it boils down to. I believe God. You believe God? Well, yeah, but I don't know if that applies to me. Then go back to base one. Are you born again? I can't let you off the hook. I can't let myself off the hook. You say, well, I think I'd like to be close to God. Yeah, God, I want you to be close to me. What are you doing about it? What are you doing about it? Look at John 14. I think maybe I'm going too long on. Just give this one passage on this. John 14.
Brother Jimmy?
Sir.
We drove 10 hours today to come hear you preach, so don't worry about it.
Thank you, brother. John 14. Verse 23. Well, let's read 22. Judas, not Iscariot. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? See, Judas asked a pointed question, did he not? How is it that we're going to know what you are telling us different from the world? Jesus answered and said, if a man love me, he will keep my word. Do you love God? Well, I don't know. Do you keep His word? Well, not perfectly. Not. I didn't ask, are you sinless? 1 John says, if any man says he has, present tense, right now, no sin, he's a liar. You got sin. But it's the tenor of your life lived in such a way that you are doing what God says. If a situation comes up in work and, well, should I do this or that? What did God say? Then you do what God said. Whatever God says about it, that's what you're to do. Well, this situation is a little bit different. It's a little bit gray. God has no gray. God has black or white. We have gray. No, we want to cover it over. But if a man love me, Jesus didn't say, if a man love me, he ought to keep my words. That's how we preachers preach it a lot of times. You ought to keep his word. But Jesus said, no, if a man loves me, he will keep my word. Are you keeping his word? And my Father will love him. So if you're keeping his word, what is it that you know already? God the Father loves you. You may not feel that love all the time. You may feel like something the dog's drug up sometime. But it's not a matter of feeling. It's a matter of God's word. It's a matter of believing the word. If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him and make our abode with him. If you're living, and if you are living in such a way that you're striving to do what this Bible says, and that's what's deep down in your heart and what you want to do, then you know, based on the Word of God, that God loves you and Christ is in you, whether you feel it or not. You see, we want the feeling. You won't have it that much. We live in a sinful world and a sinful body. We walk by faith, not by sight, not by feeling. In other words, I'm trying to give you some concrete ways that you can know whether you're near God or striving to be near God or not. I'm not trying to preach that you ought to. We already know that. We know what we ought to do. But what does God's word say? And then verse 24. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. If you don't love God, it doesn't bother you when you violate God's word and you don't care what God's word said about anything. That's just plain as black and white. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. And then, I'm not going to read this. If you want to write them down, 1 John 3:14. And also verses 17 and 18 of 3rd chapter 1 John. 1 John 4, 7 and 12 and 20. And 1 John 5, 2. All of those passages will show whether you love God's people and God's house or not. If you love God, you love God's house. And you want to be there. You want to be in God's house first and foremost above anything else in the world. I believe that. Well, sinner, before I close, take heart. God knows your frame. He knows you are but dust. And as a father pities his child, so he pities you. I hold on to that quite a bit. You see, we're not talking about sinless perfection. You're a sinner. You need to know that. You live in a sinful world. You don't always slice the cake like you ought to. But I believe that I have given you some concrete things to point you in the direction of consciously, knowingly, how to be near to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Bless it to the soul of each who hear. The loudness of my voice the inflection of the language, none of that is the power of the Holy Spirit on the heart of any individual. It might possibly thrill somebody that something was said a certain way. But unless you take these truths and apply it to our hearts, it is merely word only. Bless us to rise above that. And yes, I thank you, my Father, that you know my frame, that it is as but dust. And I believe you pity me. And I thank you for your pity. But I don't want to use that as an excuse for not living as you have commanded. In Christ's name, amen.